Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Saturday, December 9th. We love to talk about gardening here. We can answer your gardening questions. We have a fun show for you today. We're going to be talking about all sorts of Christmas gardening facts and also about mistletoe, what you should do with your Christmas tree as far as pets go. You want to pet-proof your Christmas tree? I got the answers here. And then also, too, we're talking to Deborah Green with the Orange Audubon Society. There's a great Christmas event coming up that you're going to want to participate in and help out wildlife. And so we're looking forward to that. So Christmas, good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am great. Are you all done with your Christmas shopping?
I've been done since like July.
Really?
Yeah. Now I'm just picking up odds and ends. So I'm one of those weirdos that I get it done during the year. And then when usually July, August comes around, I'm already pretty much ready to go.
See, my problem with that is when I do it, I forget where I put the Christmas gifts.
I have one spot, and the whole family knows where it is. Uh-huh. Even when the kids were little, uh-huh, I did like the reverse psychology on my children. And I said, your presents are right here in this closet. Okay. I will not be here 24/7. If you would like to go in there and view them, you can. But these are the same presents that will be wrapped under the tree. And then when you open them Christmas morning, there will be no surprise and excitement. And you're not getting anything else new. So they stayed away from it.
They stayed away. That's a good way to do it. I love that idea. And so here is a gardening quiz. All right, so see if you can think of these, and I'm going to post them today on our Facebook page. What is the Latin name for the Christmas rose? Now, I'm going to give you three choices, okay? And so the Christmas rose is a beautiful plant that will grow in Florida. It grows in zone 6 to 9, even down to Palm Beach you can grow it. And so it is considered a northern plant, but it loves be grown in the shade. So what is the Latin name? Hilliborus viscarius, Hilliborus niger, Hilliborus orientalis. So which one of those do you think it is?
I will plead the fifth on all the above. Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay, it is Hilliborus niger is the Christmas rose, which isn't a real rose. It's a Hilliborus. They're beautiful. You can get them in different shades. They have that Victorian color of that mauve and soft pink with a little bit of brown in it. Do you know the Victorian color, mm-hmm, I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's gorgeous and they can be speckled. Okay, so what plant family, number two, what plant family do poinsettias belong to? I'm going to give you some choices. Ericaceae, Erobotria, Euphorbia, or Equisetum. Equisetum.
I'm going to go with number four because you said it so horribly.
No, it is Euphorbia. Okay. It is a Euphorbia. And Euphorbias usually have that little white sap that you can see in the stem. So it's a really easy way to get it. But it is considered, it's the Euphorbia pulchrimema. Now, number three, what are frankincense and myrrh made from? Frankincense and myrrh made from. I'm going to give you four choices. Dried tree bark, powdered roots, finely ground stone, or dried tree resin?
I'm going to say number two.
Powdered roots?
Yes.
Okay. Because this is one of the three gifts that the three kings brought.
So does this mean I'm not going to get into heaven if I don't answer them right?
So it is dried tree resin.
Oh,
and
okay.
I have the most wonderful expert on frankincense for our show January 24th on the Three Kings. Ooh. January 6th, the Three Kings a holiday, and we're going to be talking about frankincense and how to grow it. And so it is made from the resins of the Boswellia and Comophora trees. All right, and so the three quizzes. So have you ever heard of cyclamens?
No, I have not.
Cyclamens are a beautiful, beautiful perennial that the flower petals go straight up, but the flowers bent down. And you get them in all different shades of fuchsia and pink and white and red. And they bloom at Christmas time. And so cyclamens are a wonderful plant. And what I need to tell everyone is they you can get them as Christmas gifts because that's part of the Christmas poinsettias and cyclamens and amaryllis as a gift, a floral gift.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go dormant after they bloom, and most people throw them away. So if you get a cyclamen, don't throw it away after it finishes blooming. It's not dead. It's just gone dormant. And I will be talking about that next week on how to take care of a cyclamen.
That's good information.
Yeah. You know, so many people think that their plants have died. And no, they've just gone dormant and they will come back again. And they're not inexpensive. So mistletoe. Let me just go to the pet proofing. Do we have time? 1 minute. We're going to come back. We're going to do our interview with Deborah Green. She is the president of the Orange Audubon Society, and she has a wonderful Christmas event coming up that everyone can participate in, even if you don't know a lot or you're new to Florida. You can participate in this Christmas event, annual Christmas event, and I'm looking forward to it. And we will also be taking your phone calls today, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 2360 and tell me what you're drinking this morning for your Christmas morning beverage. I'd love to hear that. I've got my cup of tea. And Lizzie, what are you drinking?
I'm being like you. When I grow up, I have tea also.
There you go. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this morning we are talking to Deborah Green. She is the president of the Orange Audubon Society. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Great. Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. Now, you are appearing in the Apopka Christmas Parade this morning, and one of the reasons why is because you won an award. What kind of service award did you win?
Actually, I won the award last year, Service to Mankind, and it was for my work in getting the Lake Apopka Wildlife Drive open to the public and keeping it open through organizing Orange Audubon volunteers. So today, this time I don't get to ride in the parade, but I am a member of the Sertoma Club that puts it on, so I'm helping.
There you go. Okay, super. Well, congratulations on the award. And it is really a significant service keeping the Lake Apopka conservation area. I'm so pleased that you're doing that.
Thank you.
Okay, so now you're on because you know all about this great Christmas event. Tell us about what is going to be occurring for the next month.
Okay, it's the Christmas Bird Counts, which are in their 124th year. They started in 1900 in New York and then spread, and with just a few people the first time. It was thought up by ornithologist Frank Chapman as an alternative to the count that hunters did of how many species they were able to hunt and kill.
Yeah.
So it's a great alternative, and it has become a valuable database of information on bird populations since so many people are doing it in so many places throughout North America.
It's a great event for families to participate in, getting the children and going out in the woods or even staying at home and going out and looking in your own backyard. So where can people participate?
Okay, well, I just have to correct you on the backyard thing because there are specified circles of 15 miles in radius that are around Central Florida and around North America. And for home, looking for birds at home, there are other events, particularly the Great Backyard Bird Count, which comes up in February.
Okay.
But so of the ones in Central Florida, the way you can find out about them is Orange Audubon's website now has them listed, and that's easy to find, orangeaudubonfl.org. Right on the homepage, I put the dates and contacts.
Okay, so this is something that they have to go to, and they can find out the locations. Thank you for that correction.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes. Yes, and so, yes, beginner birders are welcome, and they tag along with more expert birders, and they may be given, well, in the old days, they would be given tasks like keeping the numbers, but today, had I ever told you about eBird, or do you know about eBird?
No, what is eBird?
It's a database from Cornell Lab of Ornithology, which has become the premier ornithology resource, and it works with mobile phone GPS, so it's become really user-friendly, and, you know, thousands and thousands of birders around the country and world use it. So you just start putting in a species like grapefruit heron. You put one, and then when you see another one, you just tap it, and it goes to two very easily. And if anything you say that you saw is really unusual, and most people haven't seen it, it's flagged as rare. And then you are asked to have some more documentation, a detailed description, or if possible,
a photograph. Yeah.
But anyway, e-birding is used and is accumulated an enormous amount of data on bird populations, and so for the Christmas bird count, most of the groups are doing it by eBird.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That seems really easy, because then there's no paperwork to hang on to. You just have an app on your phone, and that's wonderful.
And so
they're given, so even if they don't know about birds or descriptions or how to identify them, they can learn this, but then they are going to be able to still participate.
Yes, just contact the compiler. And some of the counts are more welcoming of newcomers, more in need of new people. And I can just say that of the ones in Central Florida, the one who is most in need of people and welcoming is John Thompson, who organizes the Bay Lake count and the Claremont count. So as you look on our website and see the different counts, about 7 counts in Central Florida, those are the ones I would steer you to if you're a newcomer.
Right. Now, this is for the whole state, and so they can just go onto the website, and they can even just Google Christmas bird count in Florida and find out information for their area.
For other parts of the state, let's say you're visiting family and want to try this, yes, you can find the compiler and contact that person.
So what do they do with the information?
Well, it shows long-term trends in bird populations, and it goes to Audubon, if it's eBird, goes to Cornell, and over time, scientists mine that data. Let's say a scientist happens to be working on snipe populations, and so it can go into there and see, have the snipe populations been going down over the years? And, you know, if so, what can you do conservation-wise to help that species?
Oh, yeah. Now, Cornell has a wonderful site for birds. And you can, they have a great assortment of sounds where you can hear and identify the birds by the sounds.
Yes. Teresa, yes, all about birds. I mean, it's the first thing that comes up when you Google a bird, and it's fantastic. And then Merlin is the add-on app to eBird, where you can put in description of the bird, and it'll move you towards identification that way and help you, like for beginners. And then the newest thing is Merlin Sound, where you can just turn it on, Merlin Sound, while you're in your yard or perhaps, and it'll identify the birds by artificial intelligence, and it improved the more people submit observations. But it's gotten fantastic. It's like having a best friend that really knows their bird sounds.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And so what is a couple of things that people can do to attract more birds to their yard? What would you suggest?
Okay, native plants, which is a long-term commitment. They might take a while to grow to the stage that the birds really can use, but ones that have berries, like American Beautyberry, it's just a staple, and anything with little seeds that the birds can eat. And also, oh, this is another thing most people don't register about caterpillars on the trees. There are certain trees that have more caterpillars than others, and the caterpillars are used to feed the young in breeding. There's nice, soft, little teeny caterpillars. I'm talking about just to stuff down the gullets of the little fledgling young birds. And there are two species that I'm promoting that are really good, and they're not really widely sold, but it's sugarberry.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, sugarberry, Sulta yeah.
Flavigata. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. A good-looking tree with, you know, the bumpy bark, and it's attractive. And then wild black cherry, Prunus serotina. Good-looking trees that I wish more people would put in their yards. They're both get big. They grow fairly fast. It's just a sugarberry. But they will bring a lot of birds to your yard because they bring the little caterpillars. And both have little berries of the right size that birds can eat.
That's excellent. So now tell people again, what is the website they need to go to find out more information about this wonderful family tradition of Christmas bird count?
Okay, well, go to National Audubon's, or just Google Audubon Christmas Bird Count 2023, and then look 2023-24, and make sure you got the right year, and then you can go to see all the circles and zero in on your area where you're going for the holidays. And for our area, go to Orange Audubon's site, which is orangeaudubonfl.org.
Thank you so much, Deborah. I know you have a busy morning ahead. Wave to everybody for us. Thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
All right. Bye-bye. And so wouldn't that be a fun event to get your children and go out, or just families and your aunts and uncles, and go out to an area, a location, and look for birds?
Yes, and I was on the Audubon. Is it Audubon.org?
Yes.
Is what I'm looking at. And you can put your zip code in, and it tells you what you should plant in your area to feed, like woodpeckers and blue jays and stuff like that. And I'm like, some of these things, we have
pileated woodpeckers.
We have those in our yard. Thank you, God.
Yes.
I love them.
That's the bird that's in the woody woodpeckers.
Yep. That's where they got it from. Yeah. I know. I love that. So, yeah. We have like beauty berries and stuff like that on our property. And I'm just like, okay, so that's what they like. They're here because of that. So
that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity, and I love it. And it's important, too. I mean, you can kind of be like a citizen scientist, you know, and help out the research, get the stats, and see the migration and see the populations. And so Christmas bird count, it's a wonderful tradition that should be started by everybody.
And
you can do it
that.
All the way through the month.
That is a very good idea. And if you figure out what you can grow to bring in the birds in your area, then you maybe give that as Christmas presents.
That would be nice. Or even the Ear Merlin and the bird app.
Ooh,
would
yes.
be a nice Christmas present for someone who'd like to learn more about the birds. Go to the Cornell website too as well, Cornell University Ornithology Research. It is a marvelous, marvelous website for that. We are going to be back. We're going to be talking about how to protect your Christmas tree from your pets. And yes, it is possible, and what you should do. And then also be taking your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 with your name and your location, your city.
That's right.
That will help us out.
That's the perfect, because then Teresa can tell you exactly if you're growing cotton and is it the right area.
That's right. And so that would be a wonderful thing. We'd love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. I'm also going to tell you my favorite Christmas movies. Do you like to watch Christmas movies?
Yes, just not Hallmark ones.
I do not watch Hallmark ones. So I've got to tell you a joke about that. All right. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to give us a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680 with your name and city, and I'll be able to help you respond. And so let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I have a question. You don't hear any roosters, do you?
No.
Wait. Please do not incriminate us and let us be accessory. So, please.
No, I did not firebomb them. No, I did not Uzi them. They are gone.
What happened?
They sold them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. They sure did.
Oh, my goodness. And were they not working out, or do they just, are they moving, or?
No, they're not moving. They just moved the roosters and the chickens.
Oh, goodness. Well,
my prayer was answered.
That makes me kind of sad, Eileen.
Well, now maybe you may be lucky and they'll get peacocks. They are so loud. No, you don't want that. Oh.
That's funny. Well, thank you for letting us know. They were quite loud and
annoying.
Annoying. Yeah. Well, I thought it was
until 12 o'clock at night.
Oh my goodness gracious! Wow. Yeah. Well. Good for you. That's a nice Christmas present then for the neighborhood.
Oh, definitely. Oh, you just don't know.
So you had a question about the Christmas cactus?
Yes, I have two Christmas cactuses. Mm-hmm. One is in a clay pot. I can't repot that right now because it has blooms on it.
Okay.
Once it's done blooming, I have another plastic pot for it.
Okay.
So, is that right? Is that correct?
That's fine. I mean, they can be in clay or in a regular porcelain pot or a plastic pot. They're really not, I mean, it just depends on how much you're going to water them, because they are succulents, so they don't need to be watered a lot. So the clay really works good, and because it'll keep it kind of drier than it would be in a plastic pot. So I would say, yes, you can move it to a plastic pot. You're just going to water it less frequently. Make sure it has good drainage.
Okay. Another question.
Okay.
About my poinsettia.
Okay.
Can it get sun?
Full sun.
Full sun.
Full sun. It'll do fine in full sun.
Great. That's what I needed to know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, hon.
Oh, and my brown bird.
Yes.
Not only are you a garden goddess, but you are a bird goddess.
Oh, no.
Because you were correct.
What was it?
It is a nuthatch.
A nuthatch. Very good.
Yes.
Excellent.
And boy, does that bird have a nest. He has a nest in my crepe myrtle tree in the back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
How wonderful.
The nest he has. What a beautiful little bird. And he's not little, because I got a close-up of him yesterday. He's rather big.
Mm-hmm.
And he can sing.
And, that's wonderful.
Oh, yes, it is. So thank you so much for giving me all that information. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And Lizzie, I love you. So
we love Lizzie, too.
Oh, she's great. And thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank you, Eileen, for listening and being out there. We love it. Enjoy your peace. It's going to be a nice, peaceful Christmas. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm going to miss the roosters.
I was a little bit sad whenever she was on. I didn't hear it. So I know sometimes it's like she can go inside and kind of get away from them. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just joking. Hopefully she does not get any peacocks as neighbors, because, oh, my Jesus.
Peacocks can really.
They'll scratch up your vehicle. They fight with the reflection. And then they scream.
They do. It's really quite. It's a jungle movie. So how can you pet-proof your Christmas tree? One, you can spray the bottom and surrounding lower limbs of the Christmas tree with household lemon or pepper-scented air fresheners, and that will kind of keep them standoffish. They won't be attracted to that. And then you want to make sure you put it into a sturdy stand so that if they do get close, it's not going to keel over. And you can put them in the corner, make sure that they're in the corner out of the traffic pattern of the room, and even using a child's gate, fence gate, around them, the gate latches that you can put up to keep them away from the tree. Glass ornaments are not really very good for a pet household, because if they drop and they break, they just shatters, and those little pieces can get cut their paws, and they could, you know, lick it with their mouths, and it just really is a very dangerous situation if you have glass ornaments. So use ornaments, wood, you know, plastic, you know, whatever kind, so that they don't shatter. You also want to, if you have dogs, hang your ornaments 2 to 3 feet up from the base for maximum safety, because they will go up and they'll grab them, and you don't want them to do that. And do not use tinsel. And when I was thinking about Liz, that makes so much sense, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
Do not use tinsel, because if you ever have had a pet, and we did, our Scotties that we rescued, they did get into the chocolate that was underneath the tree. They did get sick, but it did manifest itself. And the silver wrapping that was around the Christmas foil that was around the chocolate also manifested.
Oh.
And so do not use tinsel or place food underneath the tree.
Yes. And also, if something happens and it digests halfway, never pull on it or pull it out, because you can tear up their intestines.
Oh my goodness. That's
people don't realize that.
They don't. No, yes. That would be something I would try to do. Get it out.
Nope.
Okay. Do not use real mistletoe in the house. It is toxic to pets. It's not fatally toxic to people. It will make you sick if you chew down a whole bunch of it, but with pets, it's different. And do not use holiday lights lower near the base. It's always about the base where they can reach. And then for the water in the base of the Christmas tree, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that it is a wives' tale to put anything like lemon juice, the floral crystals, sugar, anything in the water. You do not need to do that. Just give it water. Make sure you're replenishing the water every couple of days, and that will be the best thing for the Christmas tree. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And if you're wondering what you should be doing in December, there's some things that you can be doing, but this is Florida. We do not want to encourage growth on our plants, so it's not the time to fertilize. That time is over. No time for pruning. This is all about, you know, making sure that your landscape is, you know, ready to go for the holiday season. So if you want to decorate it, you know, add poinsettias or place containers of poinsettias around, and just enjoy the cooler temperatures and get ready for the springtime. It's all about enjoying your garden. And you can do this. You can take the time at night to watch these 10 top movies. These are my favorites. And I had Mike ask me, what's wrong with Hallmark movies? So I'm going to let you answer that, Lizzie. So my first movie that I watch, and I do these in chronological order as far as the years they come out. So my favorite one is A Christmas Carol. Now, I have 3 different Christmas carols that we watch, and some of the others are similar to Christmas Carol. The first one is the Reginald Owens one, 1938. That's a good one. But my favorite Scrooge is Alistair Sims. And if you haven't seen A Christmas Carol, 1951, Alistair Sims, that is an amazing Scrooge, Christmas Carol, whatever you'd like to call it. My next one is The Man Who Came to Dinner. And if you are a Hollywood cinema movie star buff, you like history, if you love Hollywood trivia, and you love the movies from the 1930s and 40s, Broadway shows, you've got to see The Man Who Came to Dinner. It's got Bette Davis in it, Ann Sheridan, Monty Woolley, Jimmy Durante, Billy Burke, Reginald Gardner. It is the funniest movie, and it mentions all sorts. It name drops Hollywood stars, political stars, all of the great celebrities of the 1930s and 40s. And it is funny, and it is a great movie, great Christmas movie to watch. And I love it. It's one of Tony's and my favorite. And of course, the next one is Miracle on 34th Street, 1947. And then we go into the 60s with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That is a Christmas staple. Love watching that. I can sing all the songs.
Yes,
and it's just Bumbles Bounce. And then the next one, I'm reminded when we see here at you in the studios, you have a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
I do.
It looks lovely.
Thank you.
And Charlie Brown Christmas was about the simplicity of Christmas. And I love it. It's not about gifts. It's not about, you know, going around and rushing around and doing everything. It's about the simplicity.
Yeah, that's the thing. So if anybody asks me what is my favorite thing is Peanuts and the Muppets. And the reason why the Peanuts is because it's just, like you said, just, it's, I don't know, it's a calm. It's the way life should be.
Yes.
So.
Yes, no, I appreciate that. Then my, so the Charlie Brown Christmas was 1965. Then my next one is the Santa Claus, number one. And number two, and mm-hmm. that was in 1994 and 2002, and those are both great. And I love Tim Allen in it. He's just wonderful. Then the one that has caught me by surprise is Elf in 2003. And I am not a big fan of, what is the star of Elf? What's his name?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. I'm not a big fan of his. But Elf is just precious, and it's so funny. He makes me laugh in it. And it's a great fun for Christmas. Then Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2, have you seen them?
No, I have not.
With Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn? You've got to see Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2. If you ever want to see the most fantastic Christmas sleigh, you have to watch those movies because his sleigh just rocks. It's an amazing one. And that's in 2018 and 2020. You can watch it on Prime. And then the one that's current right now, which I love, is The Man Who Invented Christmas. And it has the star from Downton Abbey in it. And he is Charles Dickens. And it tells you about how he wrote it. And if you watch it, the little Irish maid, Tara, is the spitting image of my granddaughter.
Oh.
And it's so cute. And my daughter was watching it with me the other day there. And she goes, Mom, you're right. That is Bella. And Bella looks just like the Irish maid in it. So it's really a very good movie. And then my last one, which is my favorite, and I have to watch like two or three times a day, is Spirited. And that is on Apple. And if you love musicals, if you love, and it's Will Ferrell again. And it is a great, it's Ryan Reynolds, great movie. And again, I know all the songs and I will come to your house and sing it.
I love that.
So tell our listeners, Mike especially, why you don't like Hallmark movies, because I'm right there with you.
100% predictable. There's a single female or single male or widowed or whatever. Okay, and they either usually have kids. All right. Then this handsome or beautiful person comes into the small town, and then everybody wants them. But that one person that's the other main character, and they're like, "Nah, I'm not interested." And then he or she wins the other ones over, and then they trot off and get married and then ride, you know,
right out into the sunset.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very predictable. It's kind of
very
boring.
Yeah.
But you know what? If that's what you're into, you know, more power to you, and it gets you in the Christmas spirit. That's wonderful. And, you know, some of these movies, Hallmark movies, are cathartic because, you know, Christmas, if you want to go out, and what I can say is if you are not feeling up to the Christmas spirit, going out and working in your garden is a great way to get that energy revived, exercise, and get out in the fresh air, especially when it's cooler right now, and you're going to feel so much better. And that's one of the benefits of gardening. And here in Florida, we can't really do it a lot during the summertime, Not everybody can handle the heat or sweat, and you know, but Christmas you can. And get out there and pull those weeds, and you know, you can weed the worries of the world away.
Exactly.
By weeding, and that's a good way to do it.
Can you guess my all-time number one favorite Christmas movie?
No.
I'll just play a song from it real quick.
Sister.
Huh?
Sister.
I can sing this.
There were never such devoted sisters.
I love this movie. I was lucky to be blessed with parents who were born in the 30s. So this is just one of the many. You named off pretty much everything.
This is another one, you know, and I only did 10, but this is another one. I love it. White Christmas.
Yep. I make my grandkids watch it with me. I play the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now if I could just find the outfits, then that's what I would
do,
too.
Those blue dresses.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
You have to check Bob Hope's knees in it. It's wonderful. Oh, you're so right. That's a great addition. We're going to watch it two or three times during the Christmas holidays. So from now and through New Year's, that's all we do at night when we're working and when we're writing. And I have to say, I'm very excited. I have a new book coming out in the spring, and it's going to be a gardening book that is going to be specific to Florida. And I'm really looking forward to getting it done, and I'm going to be hammering it out.
I'm excited for
weeks.
You.
Yeah.
I'm super excited.
So I'm very excited about that. 1-888-455-2967. We have a wonderful guest coming up, Annalise Valdez, and she is with a Cobra Head, and it is one of the best Christmas gifts you can give for your favorite gardener that's been good, you know, on the goodie list. And we're going to be talking to her. And then we're going to be talking about mistletoe and, you know, all the different facets of it. We will do that. So if you have a great Christmas movie that you love to watch, your favorite Christmas movie, you can let us know, 23680. You can text it to us.
Yes, definitely.
Or then we can take more gardening questions in the second hour. So we'd like to thank Deborah Green from the Orange Audubon Society for coming on and telling us about the Christmas bird count. It could be a wonderful family tradition for your family if you'd like to do it, and it's a great way to do it. And you can do it all for the next month. Go out to these sites and get into one of the bird watching programs that they have. And you can go to also Cornell University Ornithology bird website, and it is a wonderful website if you'd like to identify any birds that you see here during Christmas. They're all migrating down south from up north, and so you might see one that you're not familiar with. It's a great way to find out from their sounds, the bird calls that you can identify. They have a great sound tracks of all the different birds.
And how exciting is that?
Yeah.
Just to, you know, I'm not able to identify them all, but I have the regular different ones that are there, so I know them. But there's been a couple of years where something new has come, and I've heard a different chirp, and I'm like, what is that?
Yes.
So, and then yes, some birds have multiple, like the cardinal.
Cardinal
doesn't just have one, it has like two or three, maybe
it does.
Four.
And the mockingbird, it likes to imitate, and so you know, it does wonderful sounds, and they're very creative. If you'd like to go into our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, you can see crows enjoying snow. Do you know they like to roll down on top of the automobiles and do a slide? And you can go onto our Facebook page and you can see crows rolling down and playing in the snow. And I didn't know they did that. But if you Google it, you can find videos everywhere of crows playing in the snow and rolling in the snow. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.